The telework controversy at the Patent and Trademark Office might not even be a telework problem to begin with. Poor management and misinformation might have caused it. That's according to Robert Budens. He's president of the Patent Office Professional Association. Robert, it's great to have you on the program this afternoon. What is the real problem as you see it regarding what's going on with telework at PTO?
First of all, thank you, Francis, for having me on this afternoon. I think a big part of the problem that we're having right now is the misinformation that's going around concerning these recent news articles and stuff. I'm highly concerned that a lot of the information is not accurate, and the information is being portrayed as a big problem with the USPTO's telework program. As your listeners are probably aware, our telework program has been touted as highly successful and really the gold standard for telework in the federal government, and we've been highly involved with it. And yet, but the point I want to make today is that the issues that have been raised in the recent news reports, I do not believe are really issues of telework. They're not issues of geography. They're not issues of where people work. These are kinds of issues that you can see in any large organization as we are, 12,000 or more employees, and they're issues that occur whether a person is working here in our Alexandria offices or whether they're working anywhere across the country, and we have examiners working in almost every state in the country. The other thing I want to point out, though, too, is that there seems to be some feeling or some sense that these are very widespread problems, and it wasn't helped at all by Ms. Singletary's recent article in the Post calling it, you know, thousands of examiners. That's blatantly ridiculous in my mind. We couldn't have the success we are having as an agency if that was the case. Telework has been a highly effective tool for us in being able to reverse many of the trends and deal with many of the issues that Congress and our intellectual property user communities have been after us to solve for a number of years. We've been able to work down our backlog of cases, and the reason we've been able to do that is because benefits like the telework program have allowed us to start keeping employees, to keep examiners till they become highly trained and very capable of doing what they do best, which is look at applications and determine whether something is patentable. I think people don't realize in general that it takes somewhere a minimum of 4 years from the time we hire a patent examiner till the time that they can work independently. That's a minimum of 4 years and several hundred thousand dollars worth of training that goes into these people. Yet in 2001, when we first started our telework program, our attrition rate was 13.5%. We were having to hire two examiners for every one we could keep, you know, past 3 years. And that's a tremendous waste of resources and money, you know, to train up these people just to have them walk out the door. Now, in 2014, we're looking at about a 3.5 to 4% attrition rate. We're keeping our people. We've moved up to be called the best place, one of the best places to work in the federal government. And more importantly, by keeping these employees, these examiners are now getting more skilled. They're getting, as they go up through the grades, their production requirements are increased. And so the agency has become far more productive. You may have seen that. I don't know if you saw Dennis Crouch's blog this morning. It was talking about one of our data points that just was put out to the Patents Public Advisory Committee last week of working down an RCE backlog. All of these things are things that the agency has been able to do because of benefits like telework. Can an agency have, you know, an employee who's figured out a way to, you know, not report their work timely? Yes. But that's any organization, private sector, public sector, you know, federal, whatever, is going to have situations like that arise. And I believe me, this agency is very, very capable of dealing with those employees when they find them. They have no problems, you know, disciplining employees.
Robert, my colleague Jason Miller reported on this when the story broke, and he interviewed the Commerce Department Inspector General, Todd Zinser, and Jason writes, Zinser said PTO set specific goals for patent examiners to complete a certain number of products during their 80-hour work week or 8-hour day. So if the patent office sets a standard of, say, 10 application reviews per 80-hour work week, and an employee finishes in 60 hours, then the question becomes, how do you record or account for those other 20 hours? The employee may be committing time card fraud by telling the agency they worked 80 hours. I wonder how much of this may be a categorization issue and how much of it may be an issue of a need for overhaul in the way that PTO and maybe other federal agencies too do time and attendance relative to what the employee is actually producing work-wise.
I think those are good questions, and I think the answer may be a little of both. We have at the patent office, patent examiners work under probably one of the tightest written performance appraisal plans in the entire federal government. Our time is measured in 6-minute intervals, and we have to pretty much account. We're given a set goal in the technology we work in, and each technology may have a different number of hours. And within those hours, I have to be able to pick up a case, look at it, search it, you know, understand it, read whatever references or information look to be applicable, and then go write a 20-page term paper. And I have to do that in my art in about one day. I have about 9 hours to be able to do all of that to get a case out. That's an incredible amount of time. I have, in my area, I have like 19.2 hours to do a case from start to finish, and that's spread out over 2 years. So to be able to sit there and say that somebody's not doing work is ridiculous. We wouldn't be as have cranked out as much work and have turned around our production and performance as an agency if examiners were wasting time. The other problem you have to realize is I think a lot of this information is being looked at as like, you know, okay, was the person clicking away on the computer? And this may go to the second part of your question. We need to stop thinking about, you know, looking at whether a person's working by whether they've badged in or whether they're clicking away on a keyboard that the CIO can track or something, because a lot of the time in examiner spends is simply reading a patent application, reading the references and stuff that he has to and she has to look at to decide if they apply to the art. So you can sit there and say a person did, you know, X number of cases in 60 hours. What did they do with the other 20 hours? Well, they could have easily been reading ahead for the cases they're going to do the next bye week. And that wouldn't show up as computer keystrokes or anything else. They could have just been sitting, looking at and doing a lot of reading of patent applications and prior art. So I think there is some need for us to start, and especially as the whole world moves into a more of a teleworking environment, of sitting here and asking ourselves a question. You know, are the arcane laws and regulations concerning how we measure time and attendance, are they still effective in an environment where the whole federal government and private sector does the same thing, are going to distributed workforces, you know, all over the place? And I think the answer is really, we need to be setting the performance goals and then just looking, did the person make their performance goals or not? And if they did, why are we worrying about it? And that's one of the areas why I think this is a lot of trumped up information on, you know, from a leaked report that is inaccurate and on its own face and shouldn't have even been, you know, out there in the public to begin with.
Robert, we just have a minute or so remaining. What would you like to see be the outcome of this? Because, as I mentioned, when my colleague Jason Miller talked to the IG at the Commerce Department, there are some concerns about this, and there certainly is a concern about the difference between the draft report and final report. What would you like this to look like at the end?
I'd like to know that the truth got out there, that people understand that the final report was written on the same set of data as the original report, but it was written by people who didn't have a bias in the fight, and that the leaked report was inaccurate. And I would like to see this, you know, the issues of the telework taken out of here. If we have disciplinary situations, we will address them, and we have been addressing them very well. I want to see the truth get out there. This isn't an issue of geography. This is an issue of management dealing with employees who are, you know, who for some reason have not done their work. And finally, that this is not some big, huge scandal at the USPTO. We have the highest, you know, some of the highest educated people. Everybody is an engineer or a scientist in the examining corps. And we're a bunch of hardworking people who are just doing our best to make the U.S. patent system stay a strong engine of innovation for the American people.